soon as I cough. Okay. Hi, I'm Lisa Davis. Welcome to Sure Health on Thinking Out Loud on WUML 91.5 FM. Quote, think challenging kids simply have been poorly parented, think these kids don't respect authority, that their behavior is intentional, think rewards and punishment are the best way to set them straight, think again. Quote, this was taken from the homepage of www.thinkkids.org, and today we are honored to be joined by Dr. J. Stuart Avalon to set us straight about challenging kids. Dr. J. Stuart Avalon, PhD, is the director of Think Kids in the Department of Psychiatry at Massachusetts General Hospital. He is also associate clinical professor of psychology in the Department of Psychiatry at Harvard Medical School. Dr. Avalon co-founded the Center for Collaborative Problem Solving, where he also served as co-director from its inception until 2008. Dr. Avalon is co-author of Treating Explosive Kids, a Collaborative Problem-Solving Approach, and author of numerous articles, chapters, and scientific papers on the process and outcome of psychosocial interventions. Dr. Avalon's research has been funded by, amongst others, the National Institutes of Health, the American Psychology Association, the American Psychoanalytic Association, the International Psychoanalytic Association, the Mood and Anxiety Disorders Institute, and the Endowment for the Advancement of Psychotherapy. Dr. Avalon received his doctorate in clinical psychology from the University at Berkeley and completed his pre-doctoral and postdoctoral training at Massachusetts General Hospital and Harvard Medical School. Dr. Avalon trains parents, educators, and clinicians and consults to schools and treatment programs throughout the world on the Think Kids approach. I'm thrilled to say that Dr. Avalon will have a regular segment on It's Your Health where he will offer up help and advice. Dr. Avalon, welcome to It's Your Health on Thinking Out Loud on WUML 91.5 FM.
Thank you, Lisa. Pleasure to be here. Yeah. Look forward to talking with you with some regularity.
Oh, yes, definitely. Now, today we're going to talk about the need to be proactive versus reactive, whether at home or in schools. And if you can talk to us a little bit about what that means, being proactive, reactive, and then we can talk about the specifics about home or school.
Sure, happy to. You know, so often when you hear somebody say that it's better to be proactive than reactive, you know, you think to yourself, well, that's sort of obvious. Being proactive is always better than reactive.
Yeah.
But one of the things that we've found with challenging kids is that whatever approach one tries to use to help manage the meltdowns, explosions, implosions that these kids have, generally speaking, the timing is off. Our approach, where we encourage adults to work collaboratively to solve problems with kids, we call that emergency collaborative problem solving.
Mm-hmm.
And the reason we don't have high hopes for emergency collaborative problem solving or emergency anything else is chances are you're not going to get a great handle on what the problem's all about in a moment like that. Nor are you going to probably arrive at a good, durable solution to the problem so it doesn't keep coming up.
I see.
So what we find is the best case scenario is if you're working always in the heat of the moment, you hope to sort of put out the fire and take a deep breath and say to yourself, wow, we survived that one. But what you don't say to yourself is, I'm glad I won't ever see that again.
That's for sure.
So the reality is you know that that problem is waiting for you again later that same day, tomorrow, the next day, et cetera. I sort of refer to that as the Groundhog Day effect.
Mm-hmm.
And that is that you're waking up every day to the same day again and again and again in the sense that you're confronting the same problems, the same meltdowns over the same types of things. And the only way you're really going to arrive at some durable solutions to problems like that so they don't keep coming up time and time again is by being proactive. And I can certainly talk a lot
yes.
about what we mean by that.
Yes, definitely. Please do.
Sure. So proactive, you know, a bit of a buzzword these days, but what does it really mean? It means being planful, and in this case, intervening before the problem happens. And in order to make that possible in the first place, people have to give some thought to what are the patterns that you observe as to when a kid tends to exhibit challenging behavior. And while we're often told that there is no pattern, that there's no rhyme or reason, that you sort of have to walk on eggshells with these kids because you never know when they're going to blow, the reality is when you actually try to get real specific, what you find is, you know what, there are some patterns here, patterns about when, where, with whom, over what the kid has difficulty. And one of our sort of biggest challenges we have is to help the adults around these kids get really specific about when, where, under what circumstances, with whom, when the kid's asked to do what, does he or she have difficulty. That we call a list of triggers or problems to be solved.
Mm-hmm.
And if you get a good trigger list down, you now know what's waiting for you the rest of the day, tomorrow, et cetera. You know when the problems are going to happen. And if you know when the problems are going to happen, then the worst time to intervene is once that problem starts happening.
Exactly. And I would think some of these triggers, you know, overtired, hungry, overstimulated, at least in my daughter's case,
yeah.
You know.
Well, those are some common ones.
Yes.
The only problem with those
mm-hmm.
is they still are lacking in some specificity.
That's true.
So if you were saying that to me, what I would say is, you know what, I'm sure that's accurate. Now let's try to dial up the specificity. In other words, when particularly, where and over what does your daughter's overtiredness seem to be most likely to cause difficulty?
Oh, okay, that makes sense.
When does she seem to sort of get too worked up and have a hard time calming herself down, more so than others? And what you're going to find is it's certain times of day, it's certain places, it's certain activities, it's when she's asked to do certain things. And that kind of specificity is going to allow you to have a planned conversation. And that's really what we mean about being proactive with these kids, which is, you know what, let's pick a good time, a good spot, to sit down with the kid and have a conversation about the things, the triggers, the problems that we haven't solved yet that tend to cause the challenging behavior. And let's see if we can brainstorm some solutions together before it happens again. And what we'll find is a bunch of things. First of all, because your kid's going to be calm, there's much less chance of this devolving into a meltdown.
Mm-hmm.
There is much more opportunity for you to really gather a lot of good information about what exactly is going on for your child in this moment or your student. But the other thing it's going to let you do is, since it's a planned conversation, you're going to be able to think ahead of time. You're going to be able to say to yourself, what do I think this is about? Find for this particular topic of being proactive versus reactive, it's even harder actually in schools because, of course, teachers have to be meeting the needs of so many kids.
Oh, yeah.
At the same time, so many things to accomplish during the day, and the system isn't set up to address things in a proactive way.
Mm-hmm.
But when we talk about this with teachers, the notion of Groundhog Day, which I mentioned before, when teachers hear that, they say, that's my life.
Oh, yeah, and that's tough.
That's what I spend all day doing. And in fact, the research shows the number one reason that people have to depart from teaching the curriculum in schools is attending to behavioral difficulties in the classroom. And the problem is, even if they attend to those fairly successfully, they know they're going to spend more time today and tomorrow and the next day attending to them.
Mm-hmm.
So teachers really do get how important it is to be proactive.
For today, because we only have a few more minutes left, I think it's really important, the message of whether at home or at school, it was the where, the when, the how, right? And the timing of all of the of when to have these collaborative talks.
Yeah, and first you got to decide what you're going to talk about.
True.
So sitting down and having a proactive conversation about how the kid has been misbehaving and you're not wild about that, that's not going to go anywhere except make the kid feel badly and then get you frustrated because you're not going to get anywhere. So you really want to be specific. Which thing are you going to focus on in this planned conversation?
You're not
going to try to kill all birds with one stone. You're going to say, you know what? Which specific problem? So at home, is this the fact that mealtime has been a real challenge lately? Is it getting out of bed in the morning? Is the amount of screen time that the kid has been allowed, is that a battleground? You know, at school, is it sitting still during morning meeting? Is it roughhousing in line going from one place to the next? Has it been recess problems? Is it independent seat work? I'm just giving a bunch of examples.
No, but I think that's great.
Let's be very specific about the when, where, with whom, under what circumstances the kid has difficulty. And then let's pick one of those things and plan to have a conversation. And, you know, of course, we provide a lot of assistance to exactly what that conversation needs to look like, because we feel there's some crucial ingredients that need to be in that conversation. But if the ingredients are there and it's not proactive, it's not going to work great. So the first ingredient is the timing. The timing of when you're going to do this. And, you know, we can in subsequent sessions talk a lot about more about what else needs to be there. But first off, you need to identify something to talk about, figure out a good time and place to do it, and do some thinking and preparing.
Yes, definitely. Well, Dr. Abel, this has been so wonderful. And I know that the listeners are going to love having you on regularly because it's so helpful. And like you said, it's very challenging having a challenging child and advice, and especially from someone like you who's so well-versed in this and so caring, obviously, it really means a lot. And how can people contact you?
Yeah, sure. First, let me say my pleasure. It's a great opportunity, and I'm looking forward to talking in the future as well. And, you know, I was just thinking the same thing, which is it would be wonderful to hear from folks to hear exactly what they would like.
Yes, I'm going to put that out there, exactly.
And, you know, ways that they can folks can be in touch with me and everybody here at Think Kids to let us know what you'd like to hear about. There are a bunch of different ways. You know, if you go to thinkkids.org, you know, you can contact us via phone or email by getting that information right off the site. That's very direct. But, you know, we also use a lot of social media these days. So we have a social networking component to our program and website, which is called My Think Kids, and you can link to that right off our homepage. Again, that's thinkkids.org. And you can post all kinds of questions and topics that you would like addressed.
And so basically...
Other ways.
Oh, that's great.
And so maybe what I'll do actually is we'll put a topic up there to let people know about this show and ask them to suggest topics.
That would be great.
So we can do that, but also if people become a fan of Think Kids on Facebook or follow us on Twitter, you can feel free to post in either place and let us know what you'd like to hear about, and we try to be as responsive as we possibly can.
Well, Dr.